Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's Robb and Suk. Tuesday, it is Big's Chicken Week, and you know what that means.
Means that tomorrow, it's going down.
We're out at Big's Chicken tomorrow.
You, me, chicken.
You're damn Beaverton. Right. Can't wait. We're going to be out there broadcasting live 3 to 7 tomorrow, the grand opening of Big's Chicken.
I'm going to be in a chicken suit.
In Beaverton there. It's on, yeah. Watson.
I'm hearing they make a very strong bird. Same guys that run Laurelhurst and 808.
Not run it. Own it.
Own it, yeah. I mean,
same bros.
Same bros.
And
all chefs that know what they're doing.
Yeah, so make sure you put it in your iCal to come out there and join us. They're going to have happy hour specials. They're going to be doing some gift card giveaways.
By the way, happy hour, when we get there at 3 o'clock, all the way to close.
You know what I understand, too, is they're going to have one of those big, giant pairs of scissors, and they will do a ribbon cutting.
Really?
With the city of Beaverton.
Do you get to do the ribbon cutting?
No, I have nothing to do with it.
You have everything to do with it. Do they know who the hell you are?
But we will be out there tomorrow. Please join us. Grand opening, Big's Chicken. We haven't gotten out to Beaverton in a while, or out that way.
No, I think the last time was maybe our Civil War party last year. We were out at Big Al's. I think that may be the last time we were on that side of town.
Were we at Big Al's last year?
The fantasy draft was at Big Al's just a month ago, but you guys were not there.
That wasn't us. Yeah, last year
we weren't invited to that.
Last year, for the Civil War thing, we were out at Big Al's. Mm.
To be fair, you probably wouldn't have accepted the invite anyway.
Coming up in the club.
Look at Mike taking shots.
No, he's right.
It's a fantasy football. Why would you guys go?
Hashtag me too. We've got a new guy,
yeah,
that's in the news.
Yeah.
We will talk about.
He's taking some flack for it.
Would you like to see your own face in porn?
Ooh.
Got a story for you there.
Now my own face, but with a much better body, I hope.
Yeah. Like you can now put your face into your favorite scenes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Boy, that's
it's a thing.
That's a whole weird.
Why is that weird?
Does
this mean you're admitting to watching really weird porn?
That's strange. Well, weird's it's a subjective term.
Define weird.
Yeah, the internet is it's redefined what weird is.
Coming up this hour, we talk about football, a lot of football. And more football. Is that generic enough for you?
Yeah, we did talk football at the start of the program as well.
I have a Bill Belichick stat that I want to discuss. And college, too many touchbacks for your liking. Oh, and the Forbes College Football Most Valuable Teams list is out.
Yeah, I saw this.
And Oregon is on there. And we'll take a look at that all this hour. But Big Zook, right now, it's a very busy day in sport.
Let's get to it.
It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
Refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Download the reward app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences, game tickets, and rewards. Number five.
Patriots backfield takes a hit. Running back Jeremy Hill is done for the season with an ACL injury. New England now needs rookie Sony Michel to get healthy fast.
No, because they'll just go find a guy on the scrap heap and he'll run for 1,000 yards and score 9 touchdowns.
Did I hear Mike's sports snort earlier say that Kenyon Barner is on that team now?
Yeah, they signed Barner and then they went out and got a couple scrap heap receivers. They got Corey Davis.
Corey Coleman,
who's been cut by everybody and...
Just the Browns.
Yeah.
He was a first-round pick from the
Browns.
There's
another guy.
He got cut by the Browns, and then they sent him to Buffalo for like a sixth-round pick. Okay.
And he got cut.
And then Buffalo was like, yeah, no.
So the Patriots signed Corey Coleman.
But he'll go to the Patriots now, and he will become an all-pro wide receiver.
Panthers tight end Greg Olsen refractured the foot he had surgery on last year. He is considered, whatever this means, month-to-month. That's weird. Falcons placed linebacker, and he is their top tackler, Deion Jones, on the IR. He has a foot injury, although they do expect him back later this season.
Yeah, and so their safety that went out, he's done for the year, but that's two Pro Bowl level players that they've lost on their defense for one for the season and one for a significant chunk of time. And this is the one thing you can't account for in the NFL. It's a war of attrition and just health.
If our Oakland A's get by the wild card game against Mike's hated Yankees,
our Oakland A's now,
they will be doing it without ace Sean Manea, who has been out, and now they have officially put him under the knife. He undergoes arthroscopic surgery on his shoulder. So 27 starts, 3.59 ERA, and a no-hitter. The A's are three back in the AL West, but they are plenty ahead of the Mariners in the wild card. So it should be the Yankees and the A's in that AL wild card game.
Yeah, the M's are done. And so
see the Rays caught the M's? The Rays now have the same record as them.
Yeah, the Rays are tough.
Rays are just flying.
Look at that.
Our Rays and our A's look good. The Indians lead the AL Central. They've activated Josh Donaldson from the DL. Brewers can tie the Cubs in the NL Central if they win at Wrigley tonight. And then the Rockies lead in the NL West is back to a game and a half over the Dodgers.
Number 3.
Oregon State lands Oklahoma transfer. He's a linebacker. His name's Addison Gumbs, G-U-M-B-S. He's a former four-star kid. He played in 4 games for Boomer Sooner last year. This season, he suffered a knee injury in camp that was season-ending, so he was supposed to enter his true sophomore season. Now, his connection to Oregon State is that he has a relationship with a former high school teammate, and that's Deshaun Wilson, who is a Beavers freshman cornerback.
So this is the third kind of high-profile, you know, four-star type of kid.
It's looking good, man.
That they've gone after here. So, you know,
and they've not just gone after, but received.
They've gotten. So
they got 2 kids from Nebraska.
Yeah.
The first kid's name is Tristan Gebbia, and he is he happens to be the second leading passer. He's a quarterback. Second leading passer in California high school history.
And his connection was he was recruited by Jonathan Smith when Jonathan Smith was up in UW.
So he'll be eligible next season. And then Avery Roberts is another kid that transferred away from Nebraska. He's a linebacker.
So, you know, this is starting to get some good news on the Oregon State front. You know, all the talk of, you know, Oregon, obviously, with their great recruiting class, but some good news for the Beavs.
College football notes with Hurricane Florence bearing down on the East Coast, several games canceled. West Virginia at North Carolina State, Central Florida at North Carolina. They're both going to try to reschedule. Virginia is moving its home game with Ohio over to Nashville. They're going to play in Vanderbilt Stadium. Stanford is holding Bryce Love out of this week's game against Cal Davis. Well, because, I mean, they don't really need him.
No.
David Shaw says he'll be back for Oregon. It's also been announced that the Colorado players will not be punished for the play that knocked Nebraska quarterback Adrian Martinez out of last weekend's game.
So if you watch it now, I mean, it kind of went unnoticed at the time, but I don't remember who the linebacker is. It was kind of a gang tackle, but you can clearly see on film, one of the guys wraps him up around the leg, and then when he's laying on the ground, he does a little... There is a twisting motion. I mean, it's not necessarily WWE looking to break a leg, but it's more than just a tackle.
Yeah, and Frost sent the video over to the Big Ten and the Pac-12, but no disciplinary action will be taken. Now, remember, Martinez, that kid is the only scholarship quarterback left at Nebraska.
Yeah, so, I mean, the guy that finished the game at Colorado and will be the guy until Martinez comes back, he's a walk-on, does not have a scholarship. But, you know, we knew that this year for Scott Frost was going to be a... I'm not going to say it was going to be a washout, but this is the learning year for Scott Frost.
This is really bad for Michigan State. New allegations against former Spartans Dr. Larry Nassar, who's already in prison, but listen to this. So here's the latest. A former Michigan State field hockey player alleges in a new lawsuit that Nassar drugged and raped her during a medical appointment in 1992. Now, She claims the assault was videotaped. So she, at the time, told her coach about the tape. The coach intervened and received a copy of the tape. Now, enter the AD, because the coach takes it up the food chain. The AD at the time, his name was George Perlis, and he ordered the tape returned. He forced the coach to resign, and he forced the coach to sign a non-disclosure agreement. Mm-hmm. So Perlis, interestingly enough, resigned that very same year, but he is now a member of the Board of Trustees at Michigan State.
So she says that at the time, so the videotape is that she went in and he said, she claims that that Nassar gave her a breast exam. And in that breast exam, he put his mouth on her bare breast, and that was indeed taped. And she complained about it and was told to shut up. And then when she went back for another exam of different variety, she claims that he gave her a crushed up pill, that she fell unconscious. And when she woke up, he was raping her. And on top of that, she became pregnant.
She got pregnant, yeah.
And she was a virgin at the time. So she ended up miscarrying the baby. She did say she reported it to the police, but said because she was an athlete, they told her that they had to go through the campus police, at which point she claims that basically the campus told her to shut up, the very powerful guy, and that just this kind of got all brushed away. And if even any of this is remotely true.
They also revoked her field hockey scholarship.
Yes, because
for good measure.
Why wouldn't you? It's a house of horrors there, and just absolute nightmares at Michigan State.
That is really bad stuff. Yep. So we'll see what comes of that. The Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Frostbrewed Coors Light. Download Coors Light's new rewards app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences, even game tickets.
Not that this necessarily even matters, but he wasn't even a doctor at the time. He was a trainer that was working towards becoming a doctor. So the story was that when he was this renowned, you know, physician for the gymnastics team, that Michigan State wanted to keep him there because of the reputation. He was just a lowly trainer at this point, and Michigan State allegedly still swept it under the rug.
How rich is the Oregon football program? That's coming up next. It's 5:13 on The Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 5:17 on The Fan. Coming up, too many touchbacks in college football.
See, this doesn't bother me. I'd be fine getting rid of the kickoff.
But that was a tease. That's coming up.
Oh, I thought we were talking about it.
You're
right
just
now.
Launching right into it. So excited.
I thought we were going. I was like, let's do this.
I tell you what, man.
I'm all wound up from football.
You are a pro. You have hot takes on that.
Let's do it.
I was just teasing that for the next segment. I mean, we can do it now if you'd like.
That's
all right. It doesn't matter.
The moment's passed. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, I probably should just let you go there. But
yeah, it's over. My hot take, I've blown it. I've blown my hot take.
You don't really care, do you? I mean, who cares? It's a touchback. So what? Put the ball to 25. Let's roll.
Exactly.
So college football's most valuable teams as put together by Forbes. Now, they've only been doing this for a couple of years for college football. They do it every year and have been for quite some time for pro sports franchises. Mm-hmm. And I find this most interesting because, well, I mean, college football's a big, rich sport.
What? No, it's not. It's about athletes. Well, no. It's about students. Then it's about student athletes. And then it's about learning, and it's about growing young men into productive members of society, right? In education?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, right. Yeah. That's right.
I heard Dabo talking about it.
Yes.
Come on.
Daggum.
Daggum.
So there is a new number one on the Forbes College Football's Most Valuable Teams list. Now, they base this off of average annual revenues, and this particular one is based off of average annual revenues for 2014, 2015, and 2016, and it's just off of records that they can get a hold of, tax records and things like that, things that are public. So college football's most valuable team is.
I'm going to take a guess because Have you seen this? No, I've seen where a couple teams rank. Like I saw where Oregon ranks on this list. So I have not seen the complete list, but my guess would be Ohio State.
Fifth.
Okay.
Ohio State. Okay, so average annual revenue at Ohio State, $120 million. And that is that nets them out a profit of $69
million. Okay, so if it's not Ohio State, I'll go with Texas.
Number two, Texas. Average annual revenues of $133 million with a profit of $87 million.
Bama?
Fourth. Average annual revenues of $127 million with a profit of only $59 million. By the way, let me get to Oregon. They're 12th.
Yeah, that's where I saw.
Yeah, it is where you saw because that's where they are.
Yeah.
Oregon.
I mean, that's the one I saw.
Oregon is 12th. Average annual revenues, $92 million. Profit, $54 million. So how about that? So Alabama, $127 million average annual. The Ducks just 92, but the Ducks under them by only $5 million in terms of net profit.
See, but that whole, I don't believe any of that crap when you talk about profit and all that stuff is cooking the books. There's so many schools that spend money just to spend money. Some of that to me is very skewed. But I saw where the Pac-12 ranked. I haven't seen the list, but I saw that. Oregon was on there, USC was on there, and UW was on there.
USC is 18th.
Of the top 25.
Washington is 19th.
Yes.
They bring in about $85 million. USC makes $47 million and Washington 36. So Oregon is leading the way
in
the Pac-12.
Now, I saw Wilner tweeted this out, I think. So who else would be on there? The big boys.
Number one.
Who am I missing here?
Brother.
Texas A&M.
I would not have guessed Texas A&M.
Texas A&M, because being great is really expensive.
You know, to be honest with you, I kind of...
being great is really expensive.
I guess I kind of sleep on Texas A&M.
I know.
I would have thought maybe Oklahoma. I was thinking maybe LSU. I thought maybe Florida or Florida State, but I know Florida State is kind of cheap. So that's a surprise with Texas A&M, although... You look at the money that they've spent as far as facilities, stadium upgrade, and they just gave Jimbo Fisher $80 million in guaranteed money. Maybe I shouldn't sleep on Texas A&M.
Texas A&M, average annual revenues, $148 million, $15 million more than Texas. That probably puts a bee in the bonnet of the people down in Austin.
Yeah, considering, too, that Texas has their own, the Longhorn Network that they get. I want to say it's like $18, $19 million a year from that thing.
Right. And then the profit, Texas A&M is the only school that profits over $100 million. They're at $107 million profit. God.
Good Lord.
Bless America.
Apparently it's good to be Texas A&M, and they don't have a problem, I guess, you know, putting that back into the program.
Yeah, so they determined team revenues and expenses. They relied on annual filings made by each school's athletic department to the NCAA and the Department of Education. Revenues and expenses allocated to football were also adjusted to account for differences in accounting practices among athletic departments.
That's what I'm talking about. That so much stuff is cooking the books. It's like I find it laughable when Dabo Swinney is in there talking about how there's no possible way they can pay the players. Meanwhile, he's installing a GD slide at the Clemson facility. Like they have a fun slide to go from the top deck down to the bottom deck just because they have so much money. Why the hell not, you know, put in a slide? Like, teams are just blowing money on stuff to do. And yet the idea of paying the players, oh my God, we can't do that. There's no money for it. Oh, I think there is.
But it's so interesting to me. Two things jump out. Well, actually, the main thing that jumps out about this list, and they do the top 25. Number 25 on the list is Texas Tech, interestingly enough. They bring in about, they average revenue at about $60 million, and they... profit $31 million.
How much of that is just the people in Texas that just write checks for football? Like, no matter what.
Oh, for sure. But still, I would like to point out, I think the thing that jumps out to me is we know who the big boys in college football are.
Sure.
And it is absolutely 100% correlated to revenues and profits.
Yes.
I mean, look at the difference between the top school, 107, and you're not even at 107. Okay, the top school is Texas A&M. And they profit $107 million a year.
Yep.
You're not even out of the top 25, and you're at $31 million profit for Texas Tech. So that's only 24 spots. There are
112, 120
schools. The disparity is jaw-dropping.
And this is why I laugh when we talk about these issues in college football and you say not everyone can afford to do it, so we have the haves and the have-nots. You already have the haves and the have-nots.
I mean, it's not even close.
It already exists.
Well, there is no sport that has more of the line in the sand between the haves and have-nots than college football. And yet, nobody really ever talks about that.
No.
And I guess it's just because it's the college aspect of it. It's our universities. We're behind them no matter what. And I guess they also have a structure where, you know, you can have a successful season by winning 7 games and going to a bowl game.
Sure.
Right? And that takes a little of the edge off. But the reality is most schools are not competing with these top. And here's the top 10. It's A&M, Texas, Michigan is 3, Alabama 4, Ohio State 5, Oklahoma 6, Notre Dame 7, Auburn, LSU, Florida.
You cannot win.
You're not competing.
You cannot win national championships and be a national power with any sort of consistency without
being one of those schools.
Without being one of those schools. It cannot happen. You can catch lightning in a bottle. You can have a freak season where things break your way. You find the marquee player. But it's funny that everyone views Oregon as that, right? Oregon was the little upstart program. BS. 12. 12, yeah, right. 12th highest ranking.
You know who
program.
They're between? They're right in between. So compare Oregon. So when thinking, see, I think this list is way more accurate in terms of who you should compare your school to based on who they're next to in this rankings, right? So when you look at Oregon, they're right in between Tennessee and Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So your expectation, I think that Tennessee one is fascinating. They're basically right on par with what Tennessee brings in. And that is a big time SEC program that has won championships. So why this narrative Oregon can't, right? Why this narrative that Oregon is never going to compete? Well, Tennessee did and has for years, and they're right next to them. Now, another one, USC. Okay, so USC is 18th. I mentioned USC profits only about $47 million, which is not even half of Texas A&M. Interesting, those two programs, right? USC continually gets bashed every year because they get all this talent, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be winning multiple championships, and they've won championships in the past, and USC's overrated, right? Why do we say that about them when they're 18th on this list? Why are we not saying that about Texas A&M that hasn't won squat and their profit is $107 million per year, right?
Exactly.
So our perceptions of some of these programs, not all, but some of these programs is way off based on what we really should be looking at, which is this, our perceptions of Alabama, Ohio State, not wrong, right? Oklahoma, whatever. Why is Michigan not taking more flack at $127 million?
Why aren't you better?
Yes. Why are you not winning championships like Alabama? Texas has the same problem. You know what I mean?
And it also goes to show you the programs that should be lauded, Wisconsin, Michigan State, that are making profits of $39, $40 million.
Yes.
And they have been consistently good over a decade plus. Not national championship
That's
good,
right.
But should you expect national championships when you're dealing with a third of the budget that the big boys are dealing
That's
with?
That's right. Yeah. Wisconsin's 24th on this list. You mentioned State Michigan 22. State's 22nd. You know who else is on here is Iowa.
Yeah.
Freaking Iowa's on here.
Solid programs.
So they make a lot of money.
But not championship programs.
But then you look at where USC's, like the schools USC's around, maybe start comparing USC more to Washington. Well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
We always say that USC should be better. They should just win the Pac-12. No, they're not. They're pretty much on par with Washington. Now they beat Washington last year.
The difference is with USC is, and I think why USC gets it, is because you just turn around in your backyard and you can say you, and they come here. And that's
right,
the advantage that SC has.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is it's maybe not about that as much as it's about how deep you're willing to go into the pockets in order to win this. Because they can all recruit. I mean, Michigan, all these schools recruit, dude. It doesn't matter where the recruits are. They're getting them, okay? The question is why are they not winning more? Why is there such a correlation with profit and the teams that are good in the top 10 every single year, right?
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is just switch your thinking. away from recruiting fertile recruiting ground and switch your thinking away from you know what you think matters and look more at this. Look more at how much money these schools are bringing in because it tells way more of the story than anything else.
And you've said this for years. You get out of college football what you put into it. Plain and simple. Dollars and cents wise, what you dump into it and what changed a number of years ago at Oregon? Phil Knight, when he sat down and had that meeting and said, what do we need to do to compete? We need money. Great. I got lots of it. Let's dump it in.
So you look at these top 10 schools, man, and they're the ones that want it more.
Yeah, year in and year out. Or have the capabilities. Because there's some schools that...
there's some that can't,
there's
right.
There's some that can't.
But of all the schools, it's like you say, you... But that's my whole point is USC should be in the top 10.
Yes.
But it's not.
It's not.
Auburn and Notre Dame are. Why? Well, they're putting more into it.
Yeah.
So USC, you want to win? You're getting good recruits, but you really want to win? You got to jump into this top 10.
Don't hire Clay Helton.
Am I making sense here?
I think you're making total sense.
You buying what I'm selling? You smelling what I'm stepping in?
I'm smelling what the Rock is cooking. But I do think that there are programs, USC, that have built-in advantages that should make up for some of that.
Oh, for sure. Like, I mean, they're good.
Like, yeah, I look at Washington, I look at USC, and they're both spending right about the same and both making the same amount of money. And I still say that USC should be better because USC's in Los Angeles and Washington's in Seattle.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. But again, this is not universal. I'm just pointing out that this is something we don't pay attention to because we just don't see the numbers all that often. Yeah. We just assume they're all making a bunch of money. Oh, and by the way, we can't pay any players.
Yeah.
But
it's right in your face.
It's
here.
Much more of a factor than anyone knows. And I would love to see, or anyone really gives credit for, and I would love to see these top 25 schools and every school, somebody run the numbers on how successful they are on the field correlated to their revenues. That would be a very interesting list. In other words, who is really outperforming their revenue and who is really underperforming their revenue?
Yeah,
that would be fascinating.
Well, I would look on there just off the top of my head. You know that Tennessee, you know that Arkansas, you know that Florida are probably vastly the last handful of years underperforming. South Carolina, vastly underperforming the amount of money that's coming in there.
Well, and some people are texting in, too, in the Better You Today text line 55305. Stadium size matters.
Sure.
And that is for sure true. Oregon does have the smallest stadium amongst those top 12. That's interesting.
And yet they're still there.
But also, as it pertains to USC, you know, somebody says USC has no stadium to benefit money-wise. Well, that's kind of my whole point is that you better believe if Texas A&M, Texas or Michigan or Alabama or Ohio State or Auburn or Florida did not have a stadium, they had the same stadium as USC, what are they going to do?
They'd correct it.
They're going to build the best thing that you have ever seen in your life.
A&M had a great stadium, and they had one good year when they went to the SEC, and they're like, wait, let's expand. Whoa. We got to build this up.
That's the point. So college football's most valuable teams, as put out by Forbes, Oregon ranks 12th, average annual revenues of $92 million with a $54 million profit. Number one is Texas A&M, and that's why they expect old Jimbo down there to be winning championships, and they want him soon.
Well, they should. They paid him $80 million.
Best football, man.
All right, coming up next, too many touchbacks in college. 533, here's Mike.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Tickle, tickle, tickle. Tickle, tickle, tickle.
All right, cut the nonsense. Sports talk.
What if I don't want to?
Cut it.
What do I cut it with? Do you have a pair of big giant novelty scissors you're going to use to cut the big chicken?
Tickle, tickle, tickle.
What? What did you just say?
You're cutting the big chicken ribbon tomorrow.
Big's Chicken.
Yeah, the big chicken.
Or is it a big ribbon at Big's Chicken?
I'm guessing there's going to be
big scissors.
A big ribbon and big scissors. And by the way, if they're normal scissors, I'm going to be so disappointed.
Right. You got to have the giant ones.
I would think so.
Well, city hall has those.
I've always wanted, we've talked about this, to get a big novelty check and to use big novelty scissors.
Yeah, so hey, Big's Chicken tomorrow, 3-7. Be there, damn it. See how big the scissors are. So listen, are you finding that
Yes, maybe.
Are you finding that the college football kickoff rule changes are hurting the game?
No.
Too many touchbacks for you?
I just don't care about the touchbacks. Like, if you eliminated that altogether, it just wouldn't bother me. You know, 95% of the time, the kickoff is an uneventful play. I mean, maybe the guy takes it out to the 30. I mean, how many of those really end up being huge plays? And they're exciting when they happen, but if you told me that after a touchdown, you get the ball at the 25 or 30 and away you go, it wouldn't bother me. I use the kickoff now as a chance to get up and get a beverage or go to the bathroom. It's a non-factor for me. That's just not a big part of my football watching experience.
Okay. I wonder if some people feel differently. You can text the Better You Today text line 55305. Now, Greg Schiano, who is at
he's the defensive
Ohio State
co-defensive coordinator at Ohio State.
You remember when the Rutgers, it was Eric LeGrand and the Rutgers guy got paralyzed on a kickoff? Yeah. You remember that?
I do. And by the way, we've had two guys this year, not paralyzed, but have severe neck injuries in the first 2 weeks of the season on kickoff plays.
I want to say that was Ohio State Rutgers, but I'm not positive. Oh, no, because Shiano was the head coach at Rutgers. What am I talking about?
I think he was at Rutgers.
Yeah, he was the coach there. So he saw that. That was in 2010. They were playing Army, sorry. And very scary. I remember that when it happened. Shiano has said that ever since then, he's been thinking of ways to eliminate the kickoff.
Yeah.
He doesn't want the kickoff.
Well, something like that probably haunts you.
So he said, he suggested two things. His idea is, instead of kicking off, teams would punt from the 35. This would keep tacklers from slamming into blockers with a 30-yard head of steam. On punts, blockers shadow tacklers from the line of scrimmage to the point of the return. The collisions happen at a much lower speed.
And that's what they're trying to do, like with the NFL rules, if you've paid attention. That's what they're trying to do, is bring the players closer together, eliminate the head start on the run, and that's why kickoffs are so violent, is in the olden days, which was a year ago, you basically had guys getting a 45 to 50-yard head start, and that is a recipe for disaster. And the numbers have bared it out that is by far the most dangerous play in all of football.
Oh, no question. But he goes on. He says, instead of the onside kick, teams could run one offensive play from the 35-yard line. And to keep the ball, you have to get 15 yards. And if they didn't make the required yardage, the opposing team would get the ball at the spot of the tackle. Hmm. Now, these measures would actually go further into achieving the goal that they're trying to achieve here.
Yeah. So I feel like
they're too radical.
Yeah. They're trying to do away with they're trying to make the kickoff safer. And I don't know why they just don't get rid of the damn
thing. That's what he's saying. Like, look, if you really want to do this, let's do this. Let's talk about some radical ideas. Let's talk about some changes. It will look drastically different. And then of course that scares everybody.
Yeah.
And then everybody says, no, let's just do something really simple, like what's happened now, which really kind of takes away from the game. I mean, there's way too many touchbacks. It's kind of stupid. It's like now
it's a foregone conclusion.
It's kind of become the old extra point
in
the NFL, where they would make 99% of them.
Like,
so it's like, well, let's move it back because it's not really even a play. It's so easy. And that's the same thing now with the touchback in college football. And it does kind of suck, I think.
I got to go melt some cheese on my nachos and grab a beer. It's not something that I pay any attention to.
So why kick it off? Why not just, so based on his point, like there are some ideas to help this, but the way it is now, why not just give him the ball at the 25-yard line? Let's roll.
Yeah. And I still say I guess it would take the surprise kick away. You know, Alabama did this Super Bowl, right? This happened with Sean Payton. And I guess that would kind of stink, but I don't get why you couldn't just, in the sake of an onside, excuse me, I got the burpees, why you couldn't just onside kick it. Like, you would have to make the announcement of it, right? You're like, look, we're behind, we're going to kick onside. The only thing that would eliminate is the surprise onside kick, which I would argue makes an appearance like twice all year.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't be that big a deal. So at least then you could still have, you know, you're down by two scores, you score, and you know, there's 30 seconds left. You have to kick onside. That part I wouldn't want to get rid of. I think that is an element that needs to be there. But in large part, I'm with you. The kickoff is become irrelevant. And if you're neutering it to where it doesn't matter anyways, just finish the damn thing off.
All right, let's switch gears in our next segment and discuss something that happened over the weekend that's quite controversial.
Ooh.
Sports.
I don't know of what you speak.
Yeah, you do.
Well, not until you tell me what it is. Sports is sports.
We went over this in rehearsal.
I wasn't here for that.
Oh, my God.
I was drinking. It was day drinking. You know, it's a nice day out. Wilcox was here.
It was raining today.
Yeah, it's sunny out. Look at that.
Yeah, but when we got here, it was raining.
Well, okay. So
what are you talking about?
I was day drinking and it was rainy. Don't judge me. Athletics is athletics.
Cheese is cheese.
Football's football. Sports is business.
I like the music I like.
Football's football.
Football's football.
Football is football.
Football is football.
Look, I rolled in today and Wilcox was here. What do you expect?
I love that those drops are all great, but my favorite one I just learned is this one.
Sports is business.
Because no, wait.
Is sports.
But then...
Football's football.
And then
I like the music I like.
But no.
Sports is business. Rob, let me tell you this. Things can be more than one thing.
Athletics is athletics. Cheese is cheese. Sports is sports.
Cheese
but
is
sports
cheese.
Is also business.
Like Rob can be a beefcake. He can be a humanitarian. He can be the songbird of our generation.
Yes.
He's a humanitarian. I mean,
did you already cover that one?
He's a five-star man. I mean, look, there's a lot of things that you are. So don't put a label on sports that it's just sports.
I would like to know things.
All right. 546 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. We are back on the broadcast. Isaac, that's me. It's Big Souk right over there. And listen, there was a very big sports controversy over the weekend that we have not had time to get to because, well, football. But
I think for around this time of year, that's probably the answer to just about any question that we have. Hey, why didn't you get to that?
Football. There's a lot to get to.
It happens.
In football. And stuff just gets kind of shoved to the side this time of year. It happens. But, you know, look, I've found...
Family, children, religion.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Social dignity.
Any sort of responsibility.
All those sorts of things.
I found 5 minutes to corkscrew this in. And because I think it's interesting, did you see the Serena Williams flap?
How did you not see the Serena Williams flap?
Well, I was just asking.
Yeah, I think everyone has seen that.
Why are you yelling at me?
I am yelling at you. How dare you ask me that?
Is she right? Okay, so Serena Williams is in the U.S. Open final.
Mm-hmm.
And she loses, but during the match, she gets all pissed off at the
umpire.
The chair ump. And he starts docking her. Look, long story short is... her actions escalated to the point where she not only lost a point, but then her next outburst, she lost a game. And she was up, or no, she was losing 4-3.
Yeah, she was thoroughly outplayed, but, you know.
Yeah, she probably would have lost the match anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to know. But she was down 4-3 in the third set. Or maybe it was the second set, because wasn't it a straight set?
It was a straight set. She lost
in
both sets.
Yeah, so it was the second set. She was down 4-3 to this young 20-something, and then she had another outburst and slammed her racket down and broke it.
Yeah, she was docked originally for her coach kind of signaling to her. And
which she didn't see, but you can't do that.
And she claimed BS, and then she got into it with him. And
then she slams her racket. He docks her a game. She's now down 5-3 because she loses the game. And then she goes over and is like, or maybe it was during one of the transgressions, she said, you know, you're a thief. You're stealing from me.
You owe me an apology.
She had certainly an outburst. Like, it was not a good look for her.
No.
She certainly crossed some lines and was very upset. And then they get to the champ. Like, so she loses the match. They get to the ceremony. And the girl who won, his first ever Grand Slam win, she's 20 years old. She starts crying because everybody's booing.
Oh, the whole crowd is booing and hissing. And then Serena put her arms around her and tried to kind of, tried to make it a little better. And it was a bad situation all around. And then some of the fallout from it has continued to be ugly.
Well, it's quite interesting because her point is that despite her outbursts, there have been outbursts like this from men all the time. As a matter of fact, somebody told me that John McEnroe only ever got docked a point one time in his career.
And McEnroe and Connors and these guys have legendary meltdowns.
Legend. I mean, John McEnroe did.
Yeah.
And it just happens. Guys in tennis players bark at the chair ump. They get frustrated, and they are rarely docked what Serena was docked. So her point is, hey, that's sexist.
Yeah.
And this is BS. A guy saying and doing the same things that I did would not have gotten docked.
And so basically what, from my understanding, kind of the view in the tennis community is that the chair umpire technically didn't do anything wrong, but that he exercised very poor judgment, and there should have been like he escalated the situation when he didn't have to.
Yeah, exactly. He could have just backed off. And her point is, well, you guys almost always back off when it's a guy.
Yeah.
Why didn't you back off on me? And, you know, this is one of those situations where, again, it's always tough for people to wrap their head around the fact that two things can be true at once.
Yeah.
One is, she is definitely right. And she's getting applauded for calling it out, because tennis is a sexist sport. Tennis has been sexist for a long time. That is a really strange, it's behind the times when it comes to this kind of stuff. And it always has been. And two, she crossed the line. You know, that is also true.
Yeah.
She had an outburst, and I think she even said, like, look, I was mad and I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have said it, but I did. And so it's kind of this dichotomy of both things are true, but one shouldn't discredit the other, right? Like, yeah, she was out of line, but at the same time,
there was no need.
She's absolutely right what she's pointing out, and it's important for her to point it out.
Yeah, there was no reason for it to go to that level. I, you know, for me, the backlash against her, that's the part that I found the most distasteful. Everything, by the way, you said, 100% agree with. Now, not having watched it, but having gone back and watched video, there is a little bit of a crybaby sort of thing there. Dude, right. Suck it up. You got your ass kicked.
Well, not only that, but, you know, if you have an outburst like that, don't blame it on the umpire.
Yeah.
You're the one
that flipped out. Yeah. But at the same time, it's my understanding that from people that cover tennis a lot more than I do, that there was no reason for him to take those sort of drastic actions,
which makes her right with her point.
Yeah. And then you get into some of the backlash that she has faced is really uncomfortable. That's where
you saw the cartoon.
The
right?
cartoon was ridiculous that the Australian guy wrote. Not only does it look like a Jim Crow era cartoon, but did you also notice that they I forget the name of the gal that won, but she's a Japanese player. In the cartoon, they made her white and blonde, and they made Serena Williams basically look like a gorilla. I mean, it's beyond offensive. And yet there's people on there that are going to try to defend this. And just some of the comments that I've seen on social media towards her are really, really
towards Serena
really in poor taste. And it's, and that's the disappointing part is the sexism and the racism that is so close to the surface that the moment like something like this happens, the floodgates open and it all comes out. And that's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing, some of the stuff that is being said about her for, you know, I get it, having a poor showing. That was poor form on her part. She had a meltdown. But the meltdown does not give people the right or in any way make the venom and just the evil crap being spewed towards her anyhow or any way justified. So it's an ugly incident, and I guess to me just disappointing that's a large portion of the audience's reaction to something like that is to just go at her in the worst possible ways.
All right, there is hot tennis talk for you guys. How about that in the middle of football season?
Now this guy says right here, she did not get her ass kicked. The score did not represent the match because clearly we didn't watch.
I didn't watch it. No, I mean, I was watching some of it.
So I didn't see it. I'm guessing the games then were contested. All I read was that she was thoroughly outplayed.
No, the point is that
it was a straight set defeat.
The point is this did not cost her the match.
No,
that is quite debatable. If you're making that point, that is quite debatable, but that's the same guy who was mad at us because, we didn't watch the Rams Raiders game either, but he's got a point because I fell asleep and you were at the Foo Fighters. Yeah, but I saw the first half. And the Raiders looked pretty good in the first half. It was a good game at halftime.
Yeah, can I tell you?
In the second half, the Rams kicked their ass and Derek Carr looked horrible.
I can say without hesitation that the Foo Fighters was 1,000 times better than the Raiders and the Rams.
Why did you have to say that? I mean, I think that goes without saying.
Just saying.
Is that a humble brag?
Yeah, I think he was trying to make you feel guilty for your choice last night.
Me?
Yeah.
Wait, how did this get spun on me?
Because you had tickets. You said, I'll give them away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was taking a jab at you.
You said, I'd rather watch football.
Oh, you're talking about that.
And then you fell asleep.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the... No. I'm confused.
No, I was talking about you. You fell asleep during the game.
I would have fallen asleep during the Foo Fighters, too.
I'm old. I am dying.
All right. Coming up next, it is time for the club. We have a new Me Too. We have a newbie to the Me Too movement.
Once again, I'd like to start my 12-part apology.
Hashtag Me Too. And why you shouldn't hold in farts.
Ooh, I've been saying this for years. It's about time.
The club is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.